You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
Last week, the Green Party leaders of Marma Davidson and Chloe Swarwick hosted their State of the Planet address, where they launched their call to electrify the nation. On top of that, events this week have led to the party to criticise the government, first instigated by the floods that swept the nation, hitting the Coromandel and causing a state of emergency in the Wellington region. They criticise the government's decreased funding of flood responses as harsh weather increases. And second, a cabinet paper this week has shown the government is planning on moving ahead with reforms to legislation that will see references of the treaty and Te Tiriti redefined, including weakening of the obligations. But what the government says is about standardisation, but what the Green Party says is dishonouring the treaty and Te Tiriti. So for our weekly catch-up with the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March, we discuss their criticisms of the government, but start with a discussion of their electrification policy. Kia ora, Ricardo.
Kia ora, thank you for having me.
I want to start our interview this morning by talking about some of the Greens' proposals in their State of the Planet speech, and specifically the electrification proposal to electrify the nation, and I would like you to maybe expound on that for us. What does it mean to be electrifying the nation?
So the war between Israel, the US, Iran, and the genocide in Gaza, the human catastrophe across the region, has also exposed how vulnerable our economy is to warmongering leaders who, through their actions, also disrupt our ability to have a reliant source of fossil fuels that we've for too long relied on. So what we've proposed in this plan is to put in place resources so that homeowners, renters, marais, our schools or farms are able to have rooftop solar and batteries, and this will be through affordable loans, basically. And our plan also includes additional expansion for a public transport network to be electrified. These are all things that will create a more resilient economy, but more importantly, will lower bills for people throughout our country, which we think is an urgent thing that the government should be picking up and running with during this fossil fuel crisis.
So within that, these would be structured as loans in particular, especially for the solar or for renewable household energy?
That's right. So basically, this is what has been called the ratepayers assistance scheme. And we know that groups like Rewiring Aotearoa have backed it. And it's a yes and, right? It's also about, as we've said long time since last election, about, for example, kāinga ora, working to also be able to install rooftop solars on state housing as well, right? So it's, you know, throughout public buildings, supporting homeowners, but also electrifying a public transport system, which, again, all these things down the line are not just about making our economy more resilient and less prone to shocks when it comes to the supply of fossil fuels, but it is about lowering bills. Electrifying our country will make people's electricity bills cheaper and less susceptible to hikes as a result of disruptions in the economy.
I suppose it might not be completely fleshed out. Actually, that's a good question. How fleshed out are these proposals for the Green Party? Is it clear what is included in this policy? Are batteries included, for instance?
Yes, there would be. And this is taking a lot from our 2023 election manifesto and campaign plans as well, but it's simply adapting it to the situation of today. So in last election, we did provide a fully costed plan around better support for electrifying our economy. And this just simply is an evolution of that takes into account the current war as well as the fossil fuel crises. More importantly, though, what we need right now is a government that not just adopts this plan, but stops their reliance on fossil fuels, because that is simply irresponsible and will lead to higher bills and more disruption for people the longer that we take to electrify our economy.
With the loans, is the nature of them that they would be low interest? Would there be interest? How would that work?
Yeah, so the idea is that a lot of these would be low interest or interest-free, but also, again, like, it's not just about homeowners. This is also about electrifying our public buildings such as schools in support for Marae, but also, for example, we've long called for more rooftop solar to be built as part of Kāinga Ora housing build programs. And so it's the loans is a component that will particularly help homeowners, but what we're calling for is a national electrification plan that takes into account the need to install rooftop solar and batteries across different types of our buildings, including homes that homeowners may be living in by now.
This is a bit of a separate question, but it's one that I've been interested in a while about solar. There is this distinction within the New Zealand system where you can sell your energy that you create back into the New Zealand grid, and people can't make as much money doing that as they would be buying from the grid for a variety of reasons. When Australia implemented their solar policy, they did effectively like a subsidy for people who are selling back into the system, from my understanding. Or at least they made that a worthwhile thing for consumers to do. Is that something that has ever been considered?
We absolutely are open to that. And all of the National Electrification Plan needs to be put into and through an equity lens, so that homeowners, particularly people in owner-occupied homes, can actually get the best deal out of this electrification plan. So absolutely something that we're open to exploring as well.
Do you worry if we really, really aced our electricity system that it would invite sort of AI developers into the network?
Well, I mean, I think as long as we have a good framework around AI within the public sector, I am not concerned. The problem with the technologies that we've seen with AI has been particularly the corporates that, you know, like Palantir and others that have shown us that they are effectively operating not for the common good. But I think through good, robust AI policies, I do think governments can actually accept that this is technology that exists, that is being used, but you know, not for the purpose of corporate greed or selling our information out.
I want to move on soon. Is there anything you would like to finish up on this?
This is a call for the government to get real about the fossil fuel crisis and to stop their plans around, you know, the importing of LNG, to simply building more roads and put their energy on electrifying a public transport system, to build more rail and affordable, frequent and reliant bus networks, and to ensure that people are supported through this crisis. Our poorest are being left behind. It doesn't have to be this way. And this is what we're calling on the government to adopt our proposals around the National Electrification Plan, and something we'll be fighting on this election.
Okay. There has been two big criticisms that the Green Party's had for the government this week that I've seen. One being around flood protections. I'd love for you to explain this for us.
Yeah, the previous government allocated $340 million over 3 years for things like flood resilience, including for the one-off disaster recovery funding. This has been decreased by $140 million. We've already seen this year that we've had more extreme flooding events than we've had in quite some time, and it's not even May. And what we're calling for is for the government to restore that funding so that our communities across the country can have the means to ensure that they're better protected against extreme flooding events. Aucklanders know what it is like to experience those, and the rest of the country has been experiencing those recently over, you know, with more frequency. Livelihoods are at risk. Our communities are at risk. The government should be putting their resources to ensure that people can have flood-resilient communities so that their homes and their livelihoods and communities aren't lost.
And in the context of the floods, especially in the Wellington region, it seems an important time to get this right.
The funding ultimately, it should be about supporting local communities to do what they need with knowledge that they have to better protect themselves against flooding. I mean, we've seen in the Wellington region how unprepared and how outdated infrastructure has led to the flooding having a greater impact. It was the same thing in Auckland, where we've decided to build communities in areas that are prone to flooding, and we either have to accept that some of these homes need to be relocated, but more importantly, that we need to create sponge cities so that we can have the means to absorb that water when flooding comes. And part of that funding is to better protect people against future weather events. And I think this needs to be something that the government picks up adequately resources as opposed to decrease its funding by $140 million.
All right. And on to our second piece of criticism that the Green Party has had for the government this past week has been around the reform of treaty mentions and legislations. Could you explain this to us a little bit?
I mean, it's exactly as you say. The government just simply wants to erase the Treaty and its obligations from our legislation. It's irresponsible. It tramples on our foundational document. And I think, you know, I want to remind people that these Treaty protections and legislation aren't just a nice to have. They are the foundation of our country. They take into account that Māori never ceded sovereignty. They take into account that we have to work in partnership. And also, Te Reti provisions and legislation can also be good to protect us against corporate greed, because ultimately Te Reti is about building a nation that looks after everyone. So extremely concerned. And also, I think it's particularly problematic that the government continues to conflate the Te Reti o Waitangi with the Treaty of Waitangi. And these are two completely separate documents as well.
Have we seen the legislation for this yet? Do we know the other pieces of legislation that this one will be impacting?
Well, we've seen a cabinet paper that seeks to amend basically the treaty provisions across 23 pieces of legislation. And so we know that they're preparing for it. And then basically what we know will happen with this, what they're working with, is that the treaty obligations would be reduced to basically just something to take into account. Which means that governments can just basically go, yep, we've taken into account and we don't care. Whereas we need to recognize that we have an obligation to Te Reti. It's not just something to take into account when we're creating laws.
Okay, we're coming to the end of our time here. Well, one last thing I'd be interested to know, obviously this is stemming from the National Party's agreement with New Zealand First and their coalition. One of the things that they are campaigning on, or New Zealand First is campaigning on this election, is the breakup of both the gin tailors and the supermarket monopoly. This seems in line with the Green Party's, the specific part seems in line with the Green Party's policies. How do you feel about that when they're proposing policies like this?
The key thing here is that you can't trust New Zealand First to not put corporate greed over the public interest. And this is why, if you want a government that is actually committing to taking on the gin tailors and supermarkets, you have to vote for the only political party that has been consistent on tackling corporate greed, and that has been the Green Party. This New Zealand First has been in government and has supported handing out money to the tobacco industry, basically to big landlords, and this is something that shows the true colours. So while we, of course, want similar things in theory, I think the practice has shown us that New Zealand First cannot be trusted when it comes to tackling corporate greed.
All right. Well, thank you very, very much, Ricardo. Have a great morning.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Ka kite. That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez-March on their party's electrification plans, flood funding, and the weakening of treaty obligations in legislation.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez-March.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.